Welcome to worship from Westwood Church. I'm Pastor Molly Vetter, and it's my great joy to welcome you to worship in our midst this morning. On this third Sunday of Advent, we light the candle of joy. And our worship this morning, through scripture and song and poetry, invites us to consider the joy of Christ that comes into our hearts and lives by gift of God's Spirit. I hope that you feel at home in our midst with us where you are, and I hope that you participate in our worship as much as you're able. We've prepared a worship guide, which you can download. You can pull up on a device or print out. It will give you words to say prayers along with us and sing our songs along with us. I hope that you will participate as much as you can. Even in our separate places, our voices are united through the power of God's Holy Spirit, and we're given to share the gift of worship together. Our congregation is a reconciling congregation and one that values and celebrates the diversity of people who are a part of our community and congregation. We give thanks for diversity of age and race, sexual orientation, and gender identity. And we want you to know that you are welcome among us, and we give thanks for God's presence in you. Now then, I invite you to join us as we lift our hearts and spirits together in worship in this Advent season. May the peace of Christ be with you.
Into a darkness come. Let's pray. In a world full of sorrow, heavy with the grief of pandemic, and weary from the long work for justice, we dare to claim joy in Christ's coming. As we prepare to light three Advent candles, we share these ancient words from the prophet Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of faint spirit. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord to display his glory. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations.
We light a candle of joy. Come, Jesus, come. Amen.
God of delight, God of celebration, God of good news, of great joy for all people, we pray for your world so full of sorrows. Let us weep with those who weep, rejoice with those who rejoice. Most of all, let us sing with Mary of how you delight in lifting up the lowly, scattering the proud, and filling the hungry with good things. Come, Jesus, come.
What child is Just Like Job, by Maya Angelou. My Lord, my Lord, long have I cried out to thee in the heat of the sun, the cool of the moon, my screams searched the heavens for thee. My God, when my blanket was nothing but dew, rags and bones were all I owned, I chanted your name just like Job. Father, Father, my life give I gladly to thee, deep rivers ahead, high mountains above, my soul wants only your love, but fear gathers round like wolves in the dark. Have you forgotten my name? O Lord, come to your child. O Lord, forget me not. You said to lean on your arm, and I am leaning. You said to trust in your love, and I am trusting. You said to call on your name, and I am calling. I am stepping out on your word. You said you'd be my protection, my only and gracious Savior, my beautiful rose of sharing. And I am stepping out on your word. Joy, joy your word. Joy, joy the wonderful word of the Son of God. You said that you would take me to glory to sit down at the welcome table, rejoice with my mother in heaven, and I am stepping out on your word. Into the alleys, into the byways, into the streets and the roads and the highways, past rumor mongers and midnight ramblers, past the liars and the cheaters and the gamblers. On your word, on your word, on the wonderful word of the Son of God, I am stepping out on your word.
Listen now for the word of God contained in the Gospel of John. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. This is the testimony given by John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny it, but confessed, "I am not the Messiah." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Then they said to him, "Who are you? Let us have an answer for those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, "Why then are you baptizing if you are neither the Messiah nor Elijah nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize them with water. Among you stands one whom you do not know, the one who is coming after me. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandal." This took place in Bethany, across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Will you pray with me? O Holy Spirit, may my words and our thoughts and our lives reflect the fullness and beauty of your grace. We pray in your holy name. Amen. This morning, our Advent theme turns us toward joy. Joy that comes in the midst of a season of heaviness, of anxious expectancy and grief. Joy that somehow rises in our midst, not in spite of the evidence, but somehow through the reality of this world. It's a joy that sings of a deeper truth than what's present and seems obvious around us. I confess that I've been having all kinds of complicated emotions about joy and sorrow these days. When I feel sorrow and sadness, I feel guilty because I know so many others have it so much worse. And when I feel joy, I'm aware of the reality of pain and oppression and brokenness in the world, and I feel bad for feeling so good. I think this Sunday is a helpful invitation to us to reflect on what that is, unpack some of the oppressive layers that we put on ourselves of expectation, and claim access to a joy that's something else, that's something more, something deeper, that's a profound spiritual posture and discipline that gives us a new orientation to ourselves, to community, and to God. This Sunday, on this Sunday of joy, we're helped with another beautiful poem from Maya Angelou. This poem, just like Job, starts with a heaviness that immediately evokes in me depth of sorrow and suffering and pain. My Lord, she starts, which evoke in me a reminiscence of Psalm 22, which begins calling out to God, my God, why have you forsaken me? And of course, connects us also to Christ's words spoken on the cross. In our Christian scripture, Jesus quotes from the Psalms as he calls out in agony in the suffering of death on the cross. So Angelou's poem begins this morning with that evocation of depth of very real suffering. But as she continues, she invites us to participate with her in a something else, in a kind of joy that comes into the very midst of the reality and depth of pain and suffering in this world. She says over and over in the poem, I'm stepping out on your word, joy. I'm stepping out on your word. In one of her memoirs, Wouldn't Take Nothing for My Journey Now, Angelou shares this phrase with us, describing where she learned it. From her grandmother. She says, one of my earliest memories of Mama, my grandmother, is a glimpse of a tall, cinnamon-colored woman with a deep, soft voice, standing thousands of feet up in the air on nothing visible. That incredible vision was the result of what my imagination would do each time Mama drew herself up to her full 6 feet, clasped her hands behind her back, looked up into the distant sky, and said, I will step out on the word of God. She says, the Depression, which was difficult for everyone, especially so for a single black woman in the South tending her crippled son and 2 grandchildren, caused her to make the statement of faith often. She would look up as if she could will herself into the heavens and tell her family in particular and the world in general, I will step out on the word of God. I will step out in the word of God. Immediately, I could see her flung into space, moons at her feet and stars at her head, comets swirling around her. Naturally, since Mama stood out on the word of God and Mama was over 6 feet tall, it wasn't difficult for me to have faith. I grew up knowing that the word of God had power. This phrase, I'm stepping out on your word, joy, invites us to consider what it means to claim a trust in a God who wants us to have fullness of life, whose intention for us is an experience of a deep and resonant and life and world-changing joy. As Maya Angelou repeats this phrase, "I'm stepping out on your word, joy." I picture the power of the word of God, both to be a source of joy that comes even in the midst of very real struggle, but also how God's joy works in and through our embodied realities. Her declaration, "I'm stepping out on your word," is not only a description of what God's word can do, but what becomes possible when we participate in God's word. It's a testimony about the power of claiming and living in faith. And as a tall black woman, Maya Angelou's grandmother modeled, demonstrated, embodied, incarnated what it looks like to be joy in the world. I believe this is something of the joy that we're invited to on this Sunday of Advent. It's not happiness, or for me, there's a nuance of difference that's significant and important. The joy that we're talking about, the joy that Christ calls us to, isn't a joy that requires our always being happy or just pulling ourselves together or putting on a happy face, as if happiness were a veneer we could apply over this messy world to clean it up and make it more presentable. Instead, joy, the spiritual posture and discipline of joy, for me, is something much deeper, because it comes not in ignorance or obliviousness to pain and struggle and brokenness, but it somehow comes up through it. Joy reminds us that whatever they take from us in this world, there are some things they cannot take away, some things that cannot be diminished or quantified or commodified. Joy is a something that comes only by gift of God's Spirit that is somehow present with us when we choose to trust in a rebellion against an economy of scarcity, a threat that makes others into enemies, a fear of change and transition, the awareness of our limitation and mortality. Somehow, joy takes all of that into account and stirs up in us a different way of being with ourselves and each other and God that gives us assurance that there is a something more. There's a joy that sings when we, like Maya's grandmother, step out on the word of God. Our gospel text for this morning from the first chapter of the Gospel of John is an encounter with John the Baptist, one whose word is a testimony, giving witness to who Christ is and acknowledging who he is. In John the Baptist's words in John's gospel today, more time is spent explaining who John the Baptist isn't than who he is. It's as if to acknowledge that the fullness of Christ who comes into our world, that fullness is beyond what we're going to understand, so much so that we can only apprehend Christ's identity by chipping away at the list of things that Christ isn't, by describing how it isn't that Christ works in the world. And so John the Baptist describes his own self in a series of self-limiting acknowledgments that describe the difference between his power and Christ's power. I believe that joy requires humility, acknowledgement of our mortality and vulnerability. I believe that joy takes into full account what we cannot know or cannot possess in an exclusive way, that we cannot control or dictate. There's a something in joy that is beyond us, that we can't legislate or control or force into being. It wells up in us like a geyser, like an emergence of something beyond our manufacture. I think there's something powerful about this joy, and it makes us truly human. For me, one of the sadnesses of this season is that I experience joy most easily in community with others, in shared song or laughter, in gatherings with beloved friends and neighbors. And that way of accessing joy is much more limited in this season. I shared a good laugh with a couple of old friends over a Zoom call this week, but it just wasn't as good as being in each other's presence. But something about joy sings through even the limitations of the technologies of this moment, even through the limitations of the necessary ways that we have separated ourselves off from one another to try to prevent further spread of a devastating pandemic that has taken life from too many. Joy comes even into this world as it is now. Joy is present with us here, giving us a reminder that for all that we have lost, for all that we cannot share, there is still a something that sings at the heart of it all, that offers to us a reminder that we are beloved of God, that the most important things can't be bought or sold or taken away or stolen, that the most beautiful human connection comes from our participation in something greater than ourselves. So much of the poem we shared this week from Maya Angelou evoked for me references to scripture and gospel song and gospel preaching, from those first words that evoked Psalm 22, "My Lord, my Lord," to the talk of deep rivers and mountains high, to the talk of gamblers and ramblers. I heard the echo of gospel songs providing the fabric and language on which this poem stands as it declares something of a message of good news and hope into our world. I treasure how Maya Angelou uses the tradition that she was raised in to help shape and participate in a declaration that is profoundly hers and also somehow at the same time all of ours. She invites us to do this work of stepping out on the Word of God, to let ourselves be claimed by joy, not in denial of pain and suffering and struggle and oppression, but somehow through it all as an act of resistance and rebellion that asserts that that oppression, that that limitation, that that grief is not the full or final answer. That somehow still God is stirring in us and cannot take away from us a call to participate in this abundant life, which is joy. It's not something that's our personal responsibility. And this is, for me, one of the damaging ways that we talk about happiness, as if it's somehow our moral duty to put on a happy face, to hold our chin up. I don't believe that joy is a moral responsibility of ours. I believe that it, like grace, is a free gift of God. And our invitation is to tap into and tune into this gracious gift of God's love. And sometimes when we're not able to access the joy ourselves, I believe that the community carries us along with it, offering us joy in compassionate care and in a good song, in the care of a neighbor, in the cheer of lit candles, somehow standing as witness in the darkness of any night. This Advent, we're called to attentiveness, expectation, and waiting, which are postures that invite us to acknowledge that we cannot see the whole picture or know the complete story in a way that gives us exclusive rights to access and tell it. Instead, at best, we become people who, maybe like John the Baptist, are able to see and perceive something of the power of this good news, and so overly carefully acknowledging that it's not ours or it's not us. We insist that God's joy still has power, still has life, still has beauty. And that joy has a power to liberate. In the words from Isaiah that we shared as we lit the candle of joy this morning, we receive verses that allow us to remember the radical good news of this calling, which is release to the captives, which is freedom, which is good news. It's a change in the order of the world that gives hope. One of the great gifts of the words of the prophet Isaiah, in particular here in chapter 61, is that it insists again and again that in God we're called to believe that we are meant for liberty and for life, for a fullness of life, for all God's children. And as Isaiah draws on imagery of the year of the Lord's favor, of the year of Jubilee, Isaiah calls us back to this deep tradition woven into our Hebrew scriptures that insists on a periodic resetting and resettling of systems. The idea of the year of Jubilee was that in that 50th year, after every seven sevens of years, a 50th year of Jubilee comes, and debts are forgiven, captive prisoners are released, the land is returned to those who originally owned it. There's a sense of insistence that no one should be permanently poor or permanently dispossessed of power that's woven into this vision that Isaiah casts before it. And so as we claim and kindle and hold on to joy this Christmas season, we dare to believe that it's meant for freedom for us and for others. It's meant to free us from a world where people tell us to believe that others are somehow our enemy, that there's a limit to the boundaries of who can be included in God's love. Instead, Isaiah and the good news of the gospel and the beautiful poetry of Maya Angelou invite us to believe in a joy that works on a different system, that belongs in a different economy, that insists we believe in and claim a joy that's meant equally, freely, grace-like, fully given to us and those we would call our enemies. To we who work hard and those who don't seem to deserve it, to those who have achieved so much and those who haven't been able to get out of bed, this joy somehow belongs to us all. No one is excepted from the invitation of life that comes to us through Christ. And as we prepare for Christmas, we remember and give thanks that ours is a story of radical presence, of Christ born into this world in a particular moment of time, giving us hope that in this moment in time, at the end of the year 2020, Christ is still arriving into our midst. Joy is meant for us here and now. And so this Sunday, I pray that joy would be with you. That joy would arrive into your midst, that you would let it take hold and change, that you would let it fill and transform you through the good news of Jesus Christ. May it be so. Amen.
Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. Open to good tidings to Zion.
Prayer for Those Looking for Joy by Church of the City, New York. When the world expects sadness, help us, Creator of Light, to look for pockets of joy. When the world is overwhelmed by darkness, give us eyes to see little delights. When the world is caught up in sensationalism, help us to speak of the hidden wonders we've discovered, holding them up for others to see. No, there is not peace everywhere, and all pain has not been removed. But there are still people returning home, voices that pray, moments of forgiveness, signs of hope. We don't have to wait until all is well to celebrate the glimpses of your kingdom at hand. Let us not deny sadness, but transform it into fertile soil for more joy. Let us not deny the darkness, but choose to live in the light. Cynics see darkness wherever they go, but joy is the mark of the people of God. Help us discipline ourselves to choose joy, for the reward is joy itself. Help us renew our minds until they default to joy and not fear, for there is so much to fear. Help us believe that the light can be trusted, for there is so much darkness to mislead us. Jesus, you are both the man of sorrows and the man of complete joy. Help us to hold both sorrow and joy in the ways you have shown us.
Help us to remain in your love so that your joy may be complete in us and our joy may be complete in you. Amen.
Thank you so much for being with us in worship today. I hope you felt the joy of Christ with us. And I hope you'll go deeper in your life of faith and in connection to this congregation. An easy way to stay up on what's going on is to read our e-news sent out every Friday. If you're not on the list, go to westwoodumc.org/connect and help us know more about you. There is a follow-up this morning. You're invited to participate in that interactive class over Zoom. Scattered for Service continues to be open so that you can make contributions to charitable organizations as impact gifts to give to loved ones this Christmas or do fair trade shopping. I hope you'll participate in that mission team venture that helps us live out our faith in our gift giving. I also hope that you will come visit the prayer stations we've installed here at the church near the corner of Warner and Wilshire. Those outdoor prayer stations are accessible to the public anytime, in day or evening. They're lit at night, so you can come and pray there here on this campus, but with a safe distance from others. There's also angel wings on the door to Helms Hall, and I hope you'll take your picture posing with those wings. If you share it online on social media and tag the church, we would love to include you in a Christmas Eve slideshow during our worship services. I also want to let you know that we have special worship services planned for Christmas Eve. At 5 p.m. online, we'll share our virtual children's Christmas pageant, which is going to be a blast, and also share in prayer and scripture and homily and candlelight. We hope you'll join us for that 5 p.m. Christmas Eve experience. Or at 8 o'clock, we invite you to join us live online for a Lessons and Carols worship experience from here in our sanctuary, featuring our sanctuary music and song, scripture, homily, and candlelight. Following each of those, we invite you to join a live interactive Zoom where you'll have an opportunity to log on and see each other and interact in small groups for a short period of time so that we can be community together. The information and links to all that is in the e-news and on the website, christmasatwestwood.com. There is so much more to say about what's going on in the life of our congregation. I hope you'll help spread the news about what's happening in our midst. This morning, I want to share with you news of some transitions in our church leadership. One is that Shelby Stroud, who's been with us as a section leader and soloist, is preparing to depart to move back home to Texas. She has been with us through this pandemic and before, and we're so grateful for her gift of music. She will be included in the next several of our worship services because of our doing recording ahead of time, but we wish her well as she prepares for this transition, and I wanted to give you a chance to reach out to her to let her know of your gratitude for her gifts shared with us so beautifully. And we never marked it at the time, but Shirley Ann, who's been another section leader soloist with us, moved back to Massachusetts back at the beginning of summer for what we thought at the time would be a temporary summer arrangement, but has turned into a longer term. We miss her presence in this place and offer her our thanks as well, as she has transitioned out from being our regular section leader soloist. The gift of music that Shirley Ann and Shelby have shared with us has been a tremendous gift to our congregation, and we pray for them. I also want you to know that another staff member is transitioning. That is, Josh Lopez Reyes is going to leave our staff to take a full-time position with the Echo Park United Methodist Church and Immigrant Refugee Welcome Center. We are so grateful for having already been able to partner with this new ministry venture of the Echo Park Church, including through the La Posada we shared together this last week. We are excited about God's call on Josh, a call to ordained ministry, and excited for this next step in that journey for him, though we will miss him being with us in a regular way, primarily at the Loft, but also in the social justice and missions ministries of the church. Next Sunday at the 11 o'clock hour, we invite you to an online Zoom farewell for Josh, and we invite you to hold him in prayer too. Now, as we conclude this time together, I pray that you would be filled, buoyed, that you would soar with the joy of Christ that comes through the details and struggle of this world and gives us confidence that there is a bigger story still. May you go in joy. Amen.